back to the Mel Kay Show. My guest today has become a good friend of mine. He's a very smart man. He's actually Man in America. And I'm very excited to have back Seth Holthouse. How you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm so good, Mel. It's great to be back. And it's always lovely seeing you. And I feel like, you know, there's certain people you run into who say at one of these, the Clay Clark events, you're like, oh, nice to see you. Like, you're someone that's like, give me a giant hug. I'm so happy to see you. How have you been?
Right. Well, the truth is that you and I started a long time ago and we met. You have your awesome wife and you guys did that Man in America that went viral with Donald Trump. You were kind of transitioning. You didn't know what you were going to do. And now your show took off. And you are covering things nobody else is covering. You're an expert in China and geopolitics. So it really is a pleasure to have you here to talk about some things that are not being talked about because distractions abound everywhere. But we have some serious things going on. First and foremost, you put out a great piece. I recommend everyone go check it out on your site or on your Rumble or any of your platforms. On Saudi Arabia and China, and basically how the Saudi Arabian relationship with the United States is drastically changing, and people aren't paying attention to how much that means to our country and the world.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm sure we'll talk at some point about the midterms, but I see that's everyone's focus. I've done a couple of shows on it, but it's really hard for me to sometimes focus on even American politics when I see there's something much bigger happening. And it's almost like there's this freight train that's barreling down and you're trying to like build a little hut out of sticks on the railway track. And it's like, no, we got to make it perfect. And they're fighting us and they're fighting us. And I'm not diminishing the importance of that because it is very important. But like, if you look at what happened with Saudi Arabia, for instance, and just to give a quick background for your guests, basically what happened was that Saudi Arabia came out and they said, look, we're done prioritizing our relationship with America as per the Bretton Woods and the agreement that we're going to have oil traded in the US dollar, which is the petrodollar. And we're now going to be putting our efforts into China and Russia, by extension of China. And the weight of this, you have people talking about it, the talking heads in American politics are like, oh, we're entering into a recession. Or it's like, folks, if our US dollar loses this petrodollar status, that's the only thing, like one of the only things, the major thing, that's what gives our dollar demand. Like that's why countries are holding the US dollar. That's what enables us to be the world reserve currency. And if we lose that status, which is literally in the process of happening as we speak, as China and Russia and the BRICS nations are saying, hey, come join us over here. The American dollar, the American system, maybe under Trump, the Saudis and Middle Eastern folks respected America. Under Biden, it's a laughing stock. And so they're saying, come join us over here. We have this new SIPS system. We're going to be rolling out our new gold-backed currencies, et cetera. If we lose that status, we're going to see, it could be almost overnight, countries saying, you know what? We're not going to hold all these treasury bonds anymore. We're just going to be dumping everything. We could see the dollar decimated overnight. It's like, you think that the Great Depression was bad. And we've never been through the collapse of a currency in America. We've been through stock market crashes and we've been through stock market collapses, which is a whole other ballgame. We've never been through a currency collapse. And this is very significant.
Yeah. And I believe the BRICS nations were going around even to Africa and South America, countries all over, saying to join them. And then they could even default on what they owe us or, and just jump and join them. So they're basically saying, here's your ticket out of anything that you owe the U.S. on top of it. Isn't that happening too? Which is bizarre.
It's bizarre, but it also fits perfectly in line with everything that we're seeing.
Yeah.
And this is something, I'd love to really hear your thoughts on this. And I think I'm going to have you on my show, I think next week.
Yeah.
And we'll get that, which I'm really excited for because I've never had the opportunity to have you as a guest where I get to be asking you all the questions. But, something that I'm really trying to piece together. And I think that it's a little bit like trying to piece together the nature of life or like how the cosmos is made, right? Is like, what's happening at the high levels of this? What's happening with just everything that we're seeing, because it's like you have the globalists, but then if you look at it, there's a lot, in a lot of ways, the globalists are very controlled by China, and they're kowtowing to Xi Jinping. Right. They're having their, you know, the UN, or the, you know, China is a big part of Agenda 2030. Yet right. The same people behind Agenda 2030 are against Putin. Yet Putin is siding with Xi, and you have, it's like, it looks like they're all against each other. Yet if you look at the Great Reset and what the Great Reset really means as the collapse of our energy system, collapse of our food system, collapse of our financial system, the greatest thing that's ever happened for the globalist plan of the Great Reset was Putin invading Ukraine.
Right.
And then the sanctions coming out of it, the you know, basically the massive drop in natural gas that's being exported, the massive drop in fertilizers, which is going to change our entire way that, you know, that we're able to feed our population. I mean, there's probably about 4 billion people that are living right now only because of the Haber-Bosch process, which is the process that was invented that enabled us to, you know, create nitrogen-based fertilizer from natural gas. Like, that's the reason we are at nearly 8 billion people. And so if you look at the fact, it's like there's so many people, they want to go out there. And I think that everyone, you know, we try to put everything in a box of good, bad, good, bad. You know, is that a white hat or a black hat? And I think it's so much more complicated. And even with Putin, it's like, was he a good guy or a bad guy? It's like, I don't know. Of course, he's calling out the demonic Satanists in the West, but actually a lot of those Satanists came in from the KGB infiltration. You know, it's like, why are we teaching transgender stuff? Well, because the communists infiltrated us a long time ago, and they know that we're going to teach that in the West, destroy the West. And now when Putin's calling it out, everyone's like, oh yeah, he's a hero for calling out. Well, it's like, well, the communists are the ones that brought a lot of this over here. Right. So, and again, as I mentioned, if you look at everything that's happened, you know, after the Ukraine invasion, even though it's like, yes, like, you know, the bio labs, it's a whole different story.
Right.
But all I see is that everything is happening in conjunction. That's like hurling the world towards the Great Reset. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on how.
No, I feel the same way, because Xi and Putin had a meeting. They made a big statement. If you read the big statement that they made, which most people haven't, you obviously paid attention and I did. They're saying that they're going to have the Great Reset, except for they're going to run it. I mean, that's what exactly. It sounds like. Or they're all in it together, and they're deceiving all of our nations to have this oligarchy class. But I don't think that it just seems to me that Putin and Xi, in that speech, it was a little over a year and a half ago, where they both laid out the future of their alliance. And it's a lot of the same stuff. Digital currency, it's a lot of the Build Back Better stuff, a lot of the Agenda 2030. And you're reading it, and you're thinking, wow, this sounds just like the Great Reset, except for, I guess, they're trying to fight who the players at the very top are. Because if that really is what I'm seeing, is that everyone's going for it in some way right now, because the world is in such chaos and it's up for grabs. I think especially what happened in Afghanistan with that pullout took a whole nother rung out of the United States' ability to keep the power that they want so badly. But I agree with you. It does seem that way to me.
Well, what's interesting is that one person that I feel like has really, you know, come close to getting, or actually two people, are Liu Zhigami and Fritz Springmeier.
And yes, you know, they're true. Both,
it's like, it's just kind of funny, because if you look, there's an entire community of people that, you know, follow, I guess I don't want to get too heavy into the specifics and calling people out, but there's people that believe that, for instance, that, you know, Putin and Xi are working together with President Trump to release people, you know, to free us from the deep state. And it's like, well, you guys haven't read anything about the CCP or Xi Jinping, right? Who's like the most Maoist communist we've had since Mao himself, right? But beyond that, though, it's like everyone wants to think a certain way until they believe that they've found the truth. But then people that come out and second guess that, like, oh, well, they're wrong on that one thing. Well, both Fritz Springmeier and Liu Zhigami have come out and said that the whole trust the plan thing is a complete psyop, which is interesting. Okay, it's a good data point. These are people that have literally written the book on the deep state, like written the book on the bloodlines. They've written the books. You know, Liu Zhigami was a high level Illuminati. Right. He was a high level lodge member, and he ran lodges in Europe. So that's one thing. But both of them had the same conclusion, that you know, China and Russia are just part of this overall orchestrated takeover of the world. And Leo Zagami, in his recent book that he published, is like his seventh volume of Confessions of an Illuminati Insider, which is a wild book. what he says in this book, which really made me think about it, is he said that the powers that be, and he goes into a little bit of who he kind of believes him to be, which, I think makes sense. But what he says, though, is that the real powers that be, the real people that are controlling things, have lost confidence in the United States military industrial Western New World Order model, in that it's waning. And so they're now shifting their energy and their focus on what they call the China New World Order or the China Russia New World Order. And this is where I think that we're at. And this is what not a lot of people are really going into, is I think that everyone is really like the people, especially the folks that follow brilliant people like yourself or other researchers, they've now realized that, wow, the central banks and, these 13 families, the 13 bloodlines and the deep state, the military industrial complex, they've identified them as one of our enemies, which is very true. But I think that a mistake perhaps that we've made is thinking that if someone else is fighting against this enemy, that they're our friend. Whereas what I think is really happening is that the balance of power in the structure of the New World Order is shifting from being one that's based in the West to one that's based in the East.
Right. Well, that's how I see it too, because what I've seen is the BRICS nations, lots of nations, 13 other nations have already requested to join them. We're also hearing that behind the scenes, Turkey is also talking about it. We got Iran, Pakistan. I think yesterday they said Armenia. I mean, this is the and like I said earlier in the show, they're saying, you know what? You can default on whatever you owe them. You can come with us and then you can join us. They're going through the unipolar versus the multipolar world. And what you're talking about with Zagami and others is that Zig Brzezinski chessboard that's failing. And it really is this whole where the United States somehow leads everyone forward. And it's already seems to me that this is already being dismantled and was a long time ago. And they're still holding on for dear life. But here's the one thing I want your take on, because you are an expert in a lot of this stuff. It does appear to me not only is Ukraine part of the Build Back Better, One World Government Agenda 2030, but now we're at $60 billion going there. From what I can see, because I've tried to follow the money, we don't know where that money's going. I don't know if that money's going to the IMF and the World Bank for the next thing, because we also have the Bank of International Settlements still regularly dealing with Russia and China. So, this is a bizarre thing. What is your take on what is going on in Ukraine from the best you can see it? Because this money transfer to Ukraine is not going to the Ukrainian people.
Yeah, well, so I'm not sure if you're familiar with Michael Yon, who's someone that I've, and if you want, I'd be happy to connect to you if you ever want to.
I would love it. He's great.
He's a good friend of mine. He texts me like 3 or 4 times a day with updates on what's happening in Europe. And it was interesting because he had sent me a text recently. The reporter that went missing? I forget the guy's name.
You mean in America?
Yeah, CBS, I think, that looked like the FBI.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, people saw him at his apartment and then they haven't seen him since. Yeah.
Yeah, and so what Michael said from one of his sources, again, now this is just a source quoting sources, right. And so, I would say take it with a grain of salt, right, was that this guy was working into a deep investigation to expose how the money that was being sent to Ukraine was coming back into the Democratic funding to fund the midterms.
Wow.
And so that basically they were siphoning this money over to Ukraine and then having it come back. And, I think that the whole thing is a giant money laundering operation.
Me too.
You don't see, aside from maybe some staged, video of some people, handing out some MREs or some clothes or some supplies or to some civilians. I think that the weapons they're sending over there are ending up on the black market. And they're coming back financially and paying off the politicians and all the corrupt people. I think the money is also being sent over there. It's being siphoned back into corruption here. I mean, look, if you look at the midterms, the Democrats outfunded the Republicans 4 or 5 to 1.
Right.
It's like, where's that money come from? And that's just what was reported. That's just what was public. I mean, it goes deep. So I think that the whole thing is in a lot of ways a giant money laundering operation.
Right. Well, before 2020, what happened was George Floyd and all that money went into Black Lives Matter, but it was funneled through Act Blue, right into exactly. the Joe Biden campaign as well. This is not a new thing. It's just that I think the problem, Seth, with a lot of this is that there never seems to be accountability or justice. Yeah. And my feeling is that at this point, there is no left and right. There's no Republican and Democrat. That's kind of to keep us all in our lanes, thinking we're part of a team where there is, in fact, I believe, a uniparty that is being controlled by an oligarchy, that this they're going to destroy democracy somehow. We're not functioning as a democracy. We're a constitutional republic, but our representative democracy is no longer representing us. And I think it's pretty clear, but I don't know what we the people should be doing action-wise, because we are the only ones, I believe, that can save this country. I'm not in the camp of trusting that, you know, everything's going to work out, because so much damage has been done, so much life lost, that if it's being allowed to happen, that doesn't add up to me.
Yeah, you know, I'm in the exact same boat. And look, you know, I've dove very heavily into devolution. I emailed Patel Patriot numerous times, not emailed, but I interviewed him, you know, numerous times. And, you know, I'll make a comment on that really quickly. My overall sentiment is that, yes, there may have at one point been a plan. There may have at one point been the groundwork for devolution and for continuity of government, et cetera. But this is war.
Right.
You know, in war, rarely do you have any plan in war that even 2 or 3 years out is still intact, right? And because it's like, you know, if I could figure it out, you know, certainly our enemies are very well aware of what these things are. And so, and again, like for me, it was Afghanistan was a big one. There's a handful of these big moments where it was like, again, even looking at the vaccine, it's like, I can no longer believe that everything is just in control. And it's like, there's been too much destruction. There's been too many kids that have been mutilated because of these satanic procedures that the doctors are doing. There's been too many families broken apart. There's been too many people that have been maimed and killed by these vaccines. There's been too much. It's lost. Even looking at what's happening geopolitically, looking like Afghanistan, how that's going to affect the dollar. That was the loss, whatever confidence was still there for the U.S. military and the U.S. government, you know, from the OPEC, the nations disappeared. Like, these are very serious things. It's almost like you're playing chess and your queen just gets slaughtered and you're like, well, it's actually still okay. It's like, no, it's not okay. Like, we're standing there alone as the king and they've got a whole army around us. And so, back to your point though, about, you know, what can we, the people, do? Because, you know, that's that, this is, I mean, to me, this is the $350 million question, or however many right. Americans there are. This is the big question. What can we do? Because after 2020, we said, okay, well, we need to secure our elections. We need to go out there. We need to do, you know, canvassing. We need to get, you know, audits going. We need to really help get the truth out there. And people were really mobilized to do that. But we saw, you know, look, like how in the heck is Fetterman, you know,
no idea.
In place? It's like, it's mind boggling to me. And look what's happening out in Maricopa again. Oh, imagine that. Right.
Also us, New York, they kept all these people in place as this is being gutted from the inside out, the violence, the crime, and Letitia James gets reelected. Again, like you're saying, we had these 2 years and it doesn't seem a lot of progress was made in fixing the elections, which leads me back to, we're being run by an oligarchy, and that it is not being that neither side is doing much. They can, because now everyone, oh, so we got in some people. I keep saying to people, it doesn't matter what happens on November 8th. What matters is that we start getting on the road to transparency, to accountability, to telling the truth. And they can keep doing committee meeting after committee meeting and putting them out there and nothing happens. And it's because of the uniparty. And the one thing that you said that we both are in alignment on is that my feeling is, too, that people don't know who the enemy is here. They're so confused by a psychological operation, a mind war where you're picking sides and who's the oppressed and who's the oppressor. And I'm right, you're left. And then they don't even have definitions anymore. The idea of Republican Democratic Party has been exploded into, nobody knows what either of these things stand for, because they really at this point just stand for divide and conquer of the people. And I think that the people aren't really seeing what you and I talk about, because I said the same thing. I said, even if any of these things happen, which I've seen zero evidence of that. And I've tried, and I've talked to people in the military and other people that say this did not happen. Regardless of that, the enemy doesn't care. You know, the enemy's last stand, the enemy is really the global international public-private partnership, multinational corporation in cahoots with the banking cartel that the Davos crew, I call them, and it's not a conspiracy theory. It's on their own websites. So anyone that's questioning if they really want this one world government, just go look at their websites and look at this upcoming UN ARCOM and agenda, which Joe Biden is set to hold the conference for, which is basically the ceding of all of our sovereignty to a one world constitution, basically. It doesn't take into any of us into account. I don't see any politicians on either side thinking that this is, you know, the worst thing that could happen for humanity. There's entire things on the UN website, World Economic Forum website, IMF website, word for word, the same things about global governance. And as long as the American people are fighting amongst themselves, be it, you know, the BLM or Antifa or left or right, or I hate Trump or I love Trump or whatever the case may be, the enemy doesn't care. As long as we're fighting against each other and fighting ourselves, they win. So that's why I say it doesn't really matter what the plan was or if there was a plan. The people that want seek the destruction of America and our sovereignty do not care. And the more we fight amongst ourselves, which brings me to a lot of people think that there is a possibility of an actual civil war in America, which I think the majority of the people in America do not and would not want. But it does seem like a lot of rhetoric pushing us towards fighting each other. And again, I say, then the real enemy, which is international, which is global, wins.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, look, if you look at any communist overthrow that's happened, this is what you see in America is what happens. Right. You know, now it just happened to be that if you, in China or say Russia, they were able to turn the peasant class against the oligarchy, or they turned the peasants against the landlords, or the intellectuals against the farmers. You know, it was really about dividing into boxes and getting them to fight each other. Now in America, when they looked and they sought to infiltrate and create that same class warfare here, they realized, wow, the middle class is actually really happy in America. We didn't have this giant Russian or Chinese peasant class that they could rile up to overthrow the oligarchy or the leaders. And so they had to create separate ways of getting us against each other. So again, race wars, that was a big one. Let's now infiltrate the black, let's destroy the black community and blame it on the whites, and, you know, blame the black crime, you know, on the blacks. And they've created the race wars. I think the biggest one, and this is, you know, if you take a step back and you look at, okay, say Fox News, you look at the other mainstream media, you think to yourself, well, are they really that bad? I mean, Tucker's talking about, you know, he's exposing the vaccines now, you know, maybe talk a little bit election fraud. Well, for once, like, well, you missed the boat, buddy. It's like, yeah, you know, no one's going to not get the vaccine because you said now that it's causing all these unknown deaths, right? It's like you had a chance just as much as I had a chance a year ago to expose this and you didn't, right? But the bigger thing though, is that they keep us locked into this communist class warfare. It just happens to be it's left versus right. That's what they've done. And so if you ask anybody in America, not anybody, most people, you know, who's the enemy on the right, they're going to say, oh, it's those people on the left.
Right.
On the left, they're going to say it's those people on the right. Versus if you look at, say, nations like China or Russia, which I believe are working hand in hand. And I really believe that they are working towards an invasion of America. And that's kind of a different topic, but you know, a lot of my sources and people I've interviewed have said that this is exactly what is happening. And you know, I'm not sure, have you ever read there's a leaked speech from General Chi Hao Chen, who was the defense minister for China. Did you ever
this
read that
is years
speech?
Ago. The one years yeah, ago about infiltrating America, like from that they would win this war by infiltrating us without pulling a weapon. They wouldn't need weapons.
So it goes into how they would need to use a bioweapon to wipe out between 1 and 200 million Americans. And you know, it's like they've laid it out. But what's interesting is that if you look at China or you look at Russia, like these are nations that are gearing up for war. And so China, as an example, if you ask any citizen, the message coming from the government is America is the enemy. It's right. Unanimous. They are uniting their people, which this is always one of the earlier steps of war, is orienting your entire population around who the enemy is. But if you look at America, if China was getting ready to attack us, what would be the best thing they could do here? Is they'd have every American pointing at some other person as the enemy. Or even worse, they'd have our own government pointing at the patriots, saying they're the enemy. It's like it could not be any more clear that our government has been completely subverted and compromised by foreign enemies. Now, back to the original question, what can we do? Well, my approach is I need to do everything I can to become independent of their systems.
Right.
Because if you look at the mechanisms of the Great Reset and how they want this to work, they want to collapse our food system. That way they can do what they're doing in Iran. Okay, here's your digital bread pass.
Right.
Got to have your vaccine. Or they want to do what they're doing in Ukraine. Oh, well, here's your universal basic income. Got to have your vaccine, right? So they want to be able to collapse these systems so they can force us to be reliant even more on the government. And so for me, it's like one of the best things that we can do is become less reliant on the government, right? You know, live in ways that we can produce our own food, live in ways that we are homeschooling our children, whatever it takes. Right. I mean, I think that's one of the best things, aside from, I think, fundamentally just praying. Right. Yeah, this is my biggest thing is it's like, we want God to save this nation. And a lot of people are praying and saying, God, please save our nation. My prayer is, God, please give us the courage and wisdom to make this a nation worth saving.
Yeah. And I agree with that 100%. I'm glad you brought up something. I really haven't heard many other people except for now me and you, a couple other people, but the real danger right now, CIA run or whoever's running our media, our propaganda media is so, is deceiving the people of America so much. And I think the most dangerous part of what the media is doing, besides making us fight each other and being overtly racist and overtly anti-American and spreading everything that they can, I think the worst thing they're doing is not telling us what you just said, which is outside of the NATO nations and the Five Eye nations, beyond that, the media, and I don't know if it's the National Endowment for Democracy and the Soros NGOs and all these color revolution groups that have fomented revolution and regime change all over the world, but something is going on where the foreign press that I follow, which is over time realized, like, here's a paper in India that's kind of is trying to tell in English language the truth, and this one in Italy. If you're looking at foreign papers, there is a campaign to blame the United States, we the people this time. This has never happened to we the people before. We've done it to foreign nations before. We go in to their countries and then tear their countries apart under the guise of human rights. But what's going on in foreign press is they are saying we the people of the United States are the problem, that we are all the stuff that our media is spewing, systematically racist, we have horrible human rights, you know, all the stuff that our financial system is abusive to foreign countries. There is such a propaganda push to turn the world's nations against us. And I saw this when we first transitioned from COVID to Ukraine, and the American people were jumping on this bandwagon of canceling Russian people, Russian athletes, Russian musicians, yeah. Russian restaurants, Russian vodka. It's all bad now. What the American people aren't being told by our media is there is a campaign to paint America as all bad now. And that means us, not our government. Us. Are you seeing that too? Because I think it's very dangerous and the media is not telling the American people the truth.
Oh, I am seeing it. And it's interesting for me because my wife is Australian. And, you know, so she's described what it was like growing up in Australia. She's been here for maybe 12, 15 years. But the people in Australia, their media, there's this kind of love-hate relationship with America where everyone looks to America. You know, America's where Hollywood is and everything, but there's actually the media, they look down on Americans so much, especially our gun laws. That's one of the biggest things, like for them, because Australians, they were forced to give up their guns. You know, it was a false flag event and everyone just, you know, say, okay, here's my gun somewhere, you know, to what happened in New Zealand. And, but they, it's interesting because they look at America and they look at the fact that we actually have guns as almost being like primitive. It's like, well, they still need guns to protect themselves. Like, no wonder. And even, you know, one of her family members has talked to her, my wife, and said, like, I'm like worried about coming to America. I'm going to get shot by some homeboy. Right. Cause they see again, like that's what, right. You know, that's what America puts out. But what's crazy though, is that it's actually like, we know, you and I know, it's not we, the people, like we, the people, we're beautiful people. We love our neighbors. We, you know, we're not racist. We'll have a black friend over to have a, you know, break bread together. Who cares? You know, we're Americans. But what's happened is that the, you know, the communists, the globalists, the enemy, whatever you want to call them, they've taken over the mechanisms that build the global brand of America. Right. Hollywood, the corporations, the woke corporations, the White House, the press secretary. So all of the messaging coming out of America is probably saying that you've got a bunch of like dumb racist rednecks that voted for Trump and a bunch of like disgusting liberals that are chopping, you know, breasts off of 13-year-old girls. And it's like, I think for a lot of the rest of the world, they're probably thinking, gosh, like America, America is like the modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. And in a lot of ways, I think that it is.
Yeah.
Not again, it's not we the people, but if you look at, you know, what's happened with the, how the left has been compromised and infiltrated. Look, the right has as well. There's rhinos that are just as bad, if not worse, right?
Yeah.
But you see a lot of the social movements because the main mechanisms of control, the media, Hollywood, et cetera, are controlled by the same side of the political aisle as, you know, as the left. They're the ones that are pushing all these narratives, and we're seeing the drag queen story hour. And this is stuff that, like, I look at this, and I'm like, how is this happening in my country? It's sickening to me.
Yeah. And it's really, I like you said before, and I've said this a couple times as well, in America, when we've gone to war against a foreign nation, which we've been nonstop in war, which people don't seem to realize that it is us. NATO is not, is to me, the one world is Davos's military, the one world military. You know, when Prince Charles was actually the first person to announce the Great Reset, in his speech, when he announced it, he basically said that if they had to do it by military force, they would. And now we are in a worldwide, possible World War III with nobody talking about peace, which is, Kate, brings us back to what we were saying in the beginning. Like, are they all in on, you know, are they all in on it? But I think the real danger of our mainstream media that seems to hate half this country, or Joe Biden's very divisive speeches, is they're being used in foreign countries as propaganda against us. And in history, if you look at all of history, as you are a big historian, you know that they demonize the people of the country before they're planning to go in, so that the rest of the world backs them if they do. And I think the American people are at a place where they don't believe that anything could happen on our soil. Or, you know, if they go after, say, our military installations, which are for some reason still all over the world, sitting ducks right now. I really do see this fomenting of, you know, the big, bad American people. And I this is where I think the mainstream media has become incredibly dangerous, because they're using the rhetoric from MSNBC and New York Times that is very anti-America, because it's the divide and conquer against all of us.
They absolutely are. And again, it's part of their strategy. Like, even, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, how Putin's coming out and saying, you know, the West is run by Luciferians and they're Satan worshipers, et cetera. And, you know, look, a lot of that came in through the Marxist movement, came in through the KGB infiltrators. Look at Yuri Bezmenov revealing what they're doing. So it's they, if their long-term plan is to crush and overtake America, let's infiltrate it, make it look bad, get the whole world to think it's bad. It's like the ultimate false flag, right? It's like the ultimate false flag. But I have a question for you, Mount. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, because I feel like that you're a kindred soul, right? And that you're just someone that you're just like, I want the truth. And regardless of how ugly or scary the truth is, I just want the truth. But what do you say to people when they say you're black pilled, or why are you so negative, or like, how do you respond to that? Because this is something that I run into, and I feel like it's my duty. It's like, if I see there's a tornado coming and I just say, you know what, go back to your 4th of July barbecue, it's going to be okay. And the tornado hits and kills everybody. It's like, I feel like I killed them, right? I think it's my duty to warn people of all the different threats. But then a lot of people are like, I can't handle it. I don't want to see it. How do you deal with that?
Really, I think the truth is the only way out of this. I think transparency and being honest with ourselves, I think the American people have to look in the mirror as an individual, stop being part of these groups, stop being divided into oppressor, black, white, whatever your religion, and go inside and take note and really be honest about the trajectory that our country's been on. And I'm a big, from my own work, I think the United Nations has been the worst thing that's happened. I think that they are a money laundering, not a force of good. In fact, their whole goal was to be some kind of a mediator to end all wars, and wars have only gotten more prolific and worse and for less reason. I believe that the end game of all wars is banking, is the financial system. It's always going to go back to who benefits from war. It's always the same military industrial complex and bankers together that Eisenhower warned everyone about was going to destroy our country from within. And my thing is that I believe in the people of the United States. I believe in God and country and our beauty and our history and how we got here. And I think that people have to really realize that they've been deceived. And if me saying, you know, here's what it is, go to my website, do your research yourself, but be honest with yourself. Rah, 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 America is getting us nowhere, because the problem is you have to look at all the wars and what they were about. I've done it. We talked about it last time. I think I did a really extensive deep dive and dig into what happened in Libya. And this war was totally illegal, and it was totally for everything other than what we were told. And then if you start peeling it back and you go into the original Ukraine, but also Iraq, Yugoslavia, Serbia, all of these wars, these nonstop wars all over this Africa are still going on, Yemen and all of this. And you really trace it, South America, they talk about it in one way, but then if you look at it, it's still the same people. This, to me, the IMF, the World Bank, the Bank of International Settlements, all the central bankers, but in cahoots with the multinational Davos public-private partnership, have made all countries kind of debt slave models and, you know, blame the other guy. They go in, they take their resources, and they're always convincing us, or right now they're convincing the rest of the world, that it's the people of those nations. And none of these wars have ever ended up helping the people. So you kind of have to look back and be like, well, what's in Libya now? Or what's Iraq like now? And what's going on here now? None of it has helped. So you kind of have to look back and think, you know, I'd rather people be armed with the truth and facts and go forward with transparency. I think it's our only way out of this. I'm hoping that it's by state, but I do believe we, the people, have more power than we think, and we're not exercising it. We're not unifying. I think if the people of America united under the guise of, we're not going to be going to war nonstop, we're not going to be benefiting the bankers while people die all over the world needlessly over nothing and end up worse off. And I think for me, at least, I can follow the money to exactly who's benefiting from this. Like you talked about Springmeyer and, you know, Wheeler and all these people, Cooper, all these things that they put out, a lot of them died or were destroyed for doing so. It's the same group of people. And until we start to realize who the real enemy is, we are going to be fighting amongst ourselves. Because I think the goal is, like you said, from Bezmenov and the Chinese defense minister that gave that whole speech, is they have successfully infiltrated our country and we are fighting each other. And yet nobody's taking responsibility for that here. And we need leaders here. And that's why I'd rather people say what they say, because if you call me a conspiracy theorist, I'll just send you to World Economic Forum's website and you can read about global governance on there. Or you can go to the UN and read Our Common Agenda 2023 that Biden's hosting, or the World Health Organization treaty is coming back. But if you look at all the sites and then look at the IMF banking sites, the plan is the same across the board. And it doesn't include America being a sovereign nation with a functioning government. It includes America being an owned, controlled slave nation on every level with a government that are enforcers for the people above them that are not here. So for me, I just think it's more important for people to know who the enemy is, know the truth, and know what we've done. Like, at this point, if you even question what's going on in Ukraine, like we are, not only are you censored and all of that, you question COVID, you're censored. There was just the DHS memo that came out that leaked, is all this upping the censorship, misinformation, disinformation, anyone that's questioning the election, the COVID, they have a whole list of things you're not allowed to question. But, you know, we're going to end up like 1984 at this point. So.
No, it's true. And I think that, you know, in terms of, you know, how do we move forward? I absolutely believe that the power is with we the people.
Me too.
And the fact that we're armed, the fact that we have our Second Amendment, like there's a lot of folks I've talked to that know people in various positions, some in high up positions. That's one of the things that scares them the most, because they've never successfully taken down a nation that was armed to the teeth.
Right.
If you look at I think it was Afghanistan, for instance, during, you know, the Soviet reign. That was a country they couldn't overtake because they were armed and they could defend themselves. And all it took was a couple guns, you know, across a couple households. That was all it took to defend themselves. And so I do really believe that their greatest threat is us, we the people. Yeah. But then the question really becomes is, what's it going to take for all of us to stop bickering with each other and stop, right, you know, pointing the fingers at each other to wake up? And I know it's maybe a little bit, you know, kind of pessimistic to look at it this way, but I think that it has to get really bad. Like it has to get really bad. And then people will wake up. Like, you know, and we've seen it, right? The people that have really, you know, whether they got fired from their job for, you know, maybe they got their back vaccine, their first one, and they had sort of side effect, and because they wouldn't get the booster, they got let go or whatever it is. You know, people, like, nothing will bring people out of a slumber more than suffering. And, you know, we're lucky. Like, I feel lucky that I was able to wake up to the truth in this world, at least the best I think that I can. You know, I'm not pretending I know the whole truth, but I feel like I'm on the right path, and I can see past most of the pitfalls and lies.
Right.
But what it's going to take, though, is, unfortunately, you know, all these Americans that still went out and voted for John, you know, for Fetterman because of whatever reasons, they didn't like the ad that was on about Oz. The ones that still believe that the gender reassignment or reaffirming surgery is an okay thing. There's all these people that are still really, really confused. And I really think that what's it going to take for we the people to rise up? I think it's going to be a lot of suffering, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I mean, my feeling is that there's this economic disaster has not even begun to hit people yet. They are not feeling it for real yet. We have a very distracted society, too, that is thinking, I think there's so much cognitive dissonance. I think that the entire COVID was some kind of terror campaign to make people kind of passive. And, you know, I've said before many times that Nazi Germany, that quote where it wasn't the convinced Nazi or the committed communist that was the problem. It was the people who sat around and watched it and did nothing. The complacent masses. I think that there's been a big effort by our media, by Hollywood, by all this global multinational corporations to make us very complacent. And also, here's another thing, because I know you have a young child, and this is another thing. Two generations of kids have been convinced in school, A, taught false history, but also B, taught to be compliant, Common Core, not use critical thinking, not really understand how things work as like they used to. So we also have two generations of people that are going out into the world without skills to rebuild this country, which I think is still part of what you were saying about the infiltration, KGB and China, because we are going to not have innovators. We're not going to have people that create. We're not going to have people that, you know, go out and start small businesses anymore or go out and do this. God forbid we get the ESG and the central bank digital currency. There won't be any funding for anything, but we're not going to have, like, what made America great, makes America great, and I believe is still in our grasp, is the ingenuity and the drive and people wanting the American dream. And what they've done is they've painted it all as worthless. So get on our universal basic income, stay home, you know, don't have kids. The climate's going to end us all anyway. And I believe that people have been so put into a state of they don't think that there is action to take or that any action matters. And I'm with you, but we do need to organize it. And I mean, if it's me and you and some other people, we do need to organize a effort to unite everyone on the same page. And I think the best way to do that, here's my one of my theories. A lot of people have things that I know you had somebody that I've talked to too, talking about the Secretary of State plan. Well, you can't do that when the country's this divided. It would only cause total chaos. And then all the people saying, well, now in January, they're going to start hearings on what really happened on January 6th or what this or that. I believe that there were enough financial crimes that are easily provable, committed, not just by the Federal Reserve and the Treasury and the whole, you know, 1913 on crime, the big, big Federal Reserve fiat currency crimes, among that. But I think that there were a lot of financial insider trading type crimes committed during the COVID and during the lead up to COVID. And I think it's on both sides, Republican and Democrat, and judiciary and DOJ. And I'm talking about people that profited off of insider government information, NIH, all of them. I think that there's just ways that we can have some accountability that is won't take forever, because now they're talking about impeachment. So what, we're going to spend the next 2 years impeaching Biden for what? He's not running anything anyway. But I do think that there have been a lot of crimes committed that maybe, I mean, and there are some lawyers out there taking on these cases and going after these people on behalf of we the people. But I think there should be, unfortunately, an army of lawyers going after our government, both sides, left and right, and finding out who was in on it. Who benefited financially from the COVID? Because I think that will lead right to everything, will lead right to all the bribery, all the blackmail, because you brought it up too, this Internet of Things, smart city initiatives, all of this. A lot of mayors around this country took money to go into the smart city initiative with the World Economic Forum, which is the debts. They need that for the debt slavery model to work. So what we're dealing with, I think that there's a level of criminality that the American people, if it was exposed, would unite behind and say, no, this isn't okay on any level across the board. I don't know your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, I agree completely. I mean, that is one thing, even looking at the Nancy Pelosi insider trading and you know, like what she's been able to do. And that's something that, again, if you want to take people that are more liberal on the left, what they hate is they hate the wealthy people taking advantage of the opportunities that only wealthy have to make even more money off of us. So you would think that would be a great divider. I mean, I also think that people are going to unite around children. And you know, once you know the crimes against children really get exposed, that's going to unite people. But I also think that you know, in taking a step further and kind of you're taking a step back, you know, when I talk about, when I mentioned that I think it's going to take a lot of suffering and a lot of hardship to wake people up, I think that, you know, where I look at the overall situation is, and you're probably familiar with the fourth turning, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, basically the whole idea of that, you know, strong men, you know, exactly. You create good times, good times create weak men create bad times create strong men. Right. And we're at the, like, we're at the cycle. I think it's so much bigger than just that. These are cycles and calendars that we don't even understand as human beings. And I think that what's happening is that we're entering into a period where we're at the end of a very, very big cycle. And even if you look at it from the perspective of the fourth turning, we're going to be seeing a collapse of these systems. And I think that the elites, they realize this, right? The elites are, they're watching the heavens, they're watching the stars, like they're doing everything to look at these cycles. And they know that we're entering into the end of a certain period, that we're entering into a new period after that. And so we think that the Great Reset is their idea. What's not, they're just trying to hijack a much bigger plan, which I believe is God's plan. And they're trying to hijack it and say, okay, well, we're going to be in control of this. Well, you know, the seeds of their own destruction really lie within their own plans, because their plans are really built in chaos, right? Satan is chaos. And so chaos is where you lose control. And so what I think that we're witnessing here is the end of so many systems. And let's just look at the banking system. You make a great point. It all goes back to the financial system. And I believe that what we're entering into is the end of the Western financial system.
Me too.
Now, they think that they're going to maintain control and that they're going to somehow, during, you know, through this demolition of these systems, they're going to be able to herd us right into where they want us to, in their central bank digital currency, into their, you know, their vertical blockchain garden, food gardens to be eating, all those different systems. But what I really believe, though, is that what we're witnessing is the destruction of the old guard. We're witnessing the destruction of their systems. And we have to really prepare ourselves for that collapse, but we're going to get through it. And on the other side of that, we're going to rebuild something that is without them. And
I think
that we're going to be entering into, it's almost like we're going, like, and I feel so, it's like, and I get chills talking about it, but I really believe that we are part of a generation of people that will experience the most significant change this earth has ever experienced. And that there's a reason why we're here. There's a reason why Mel Kay is Mel Kay, and why she's reaching millions of people with this message, because like God chose us for this time. And it's like, as much as I, it's like, okay, do I want to go back to like what was normal? Well, do I really want to go back to the 90s? Was that normal? Was it normal to be listening to Kurt Cobain, which is full of all kinds of just demonic messages, and he was some MK Ultra, you know, Project Monarch slave, most likely. Yeah. But I want to go back to that with the fake education, fake big pharma, fake government, fake politicians, fake currency. Everything that we were born into is a lie.
Right.
Like we were born into Plato's cave, right? We're staring at shadows on the wall. And what's happening is that right now, that whole entire cave is going to be destroyed, and we're going to see the truth. People are going to realize, they're going to wake up to a truth that even you and I can't even comprehend yet.
Yeah,
I agree. And we're going to enter into a period of time. It's like, imagine what the world would be like if we didn't have this evil cabal sitting on top of it, destroying everything.
Right.
It's almost unimaginable.
Yeah, I keep calling it that. I think we're headed for a truth tsunami that's going to cover the whole world. And then when it recedes and comes down, everything will be very laid bare and very obvious. Because to me, the central bank digital currency push, the executive orders, everything that's coming from our installed regime, which I believe is a globalist installed regime. And I believe all these countries, including Brazil, all over, everywhere that's having this, it is exactly what you're saying. It is this group of people trying to maintain power that they have lost or they're losing. I keep saying Satan already abandoned them. So their arrogance and their, when Harari and Schwab and all them get up there, they're in COP27 right now talking about transferring all of our wealth, $4 trillion a year from the UN G20 to the guys that are creating all the war and the chaos and everything, to then come fix the climate that they're, it's not human made. You know, it's just, it's so much, but they're trying to do this just like they did with COVID, just like they did in 2008, a giant transfer of wealth all over the world from all the people, what COVID was, to them, and think that we're not going to notice it. And the scary part is central bank digital currency, attached to the ESG score, attached to the global digital ID and the global taxation, is the one world government right there. One world banking system, one world military, NATO, one world, you know, it's all of this. But without our consent and without us going along with it, they can't do it. So where we are right now, like you're talking about, that there is going to be worse, because their loss is they lose forever. There will be no coming back. So they are, like, I know you probably saw it when Soros spoke in May at the Davos World Economic Forum. He basically laid out, if we do not do the Great Reset and the central bank digital currency and everything that they're saying, we're just going to have to blow up the world. And now we're talking about World War III for no reason whatsoever. And the post CO2 planet that somehow is supposed to function again. But the thing again about the crimes, the financial crimes, I do believe that that's a unifying factor, and I believe that it's worldwide. I believe it goes right to the IMF and the World Bank and the Bank of International Settlements and all the central banks. You lay all the Rothschild banks on a page and you're like, what bank don't they own? At the very end of the day, I do think that the financial looting of all of our countries, while they are, I believe that they are sitting on enough money to have every country on this planet thriving if they want it to. And then, you know, when the IMF goes in with their unpayable loans, they take their natural resources. This is what's going on in Africa, South America. They say to us, why are these people coming from South America? Because they set up the model that they'll never get out of. And that's where we are. So to me, I think the central bank digital currency has to be fought against with every ounce of our being, because what would happen is they would switch it off to them, to their programmable tokens, and all their crimes will disappear overnight. And that's why I think that.
Yeah, it's almost like they went into a warehouse of workers one night and just shot them all up with guns and killed everybody, but then burned down the warehouse to hide all the evidence. Like that's their financial system, right? And this is why, you know, I tell people, get gold and silver. I always have sitting on my desk a little 10-ounce silver bar to remind me, like, they can't take this.
No.
And you work with, I think it's Andrew Sorcini.
Yeah.
And this is like, honestly, to your audience, go give him a call. Like, you know, like I talk about it. Mel is not talking about this because it's just some affiliate thing. It's like, she's trying, when she's saying, folks, please go invest in gold and silver. she's trying to help you escape that, because what's going to happen when they come in, they say, well, you know, wow, we're so happy that you kept your $500,000 in your 401k with us. We're not going to convert that into a digital currency, but we'll let you have it as long as you play by these rules. That's what they're going to do. Like this right here is the same thing as learning how to grow your own food. It's a system that they can't control. And you know, one of my guests recently is this guy named Aaron Brickman, who's a very, very brilliant man. He did some great interviews with him. You know, I was like, what are your thoughts on this central bank digital currency? He's a financial guy. And he goes, it's not going to work. And he gave me a few reasons. He made a really good reason. He goes, think about this. He said, what is the biggest group that you think is going to resist a central bank digital currency? He's like, you think it's the Christian patriots? He goes, no, it's the cartels. He goes, do you really think all these people that are smuggling and smuggling human trafficking, they're going to buy into central bank digital currency? There's no way. He also said, even when they rolled out the euro, all these other countries still kept their own local economies in their own local currencies instead of buying into the euro. So there's going to be so much resistance to this that they're not going to know what hit them. But the key is that right now we need to act in ways that we know that there's a storm coming. We got to build the ark, right? It's like God's telling us it's starting to rain outside. What are we doing? We have to be able to build an ark that allows us to not be swallowed up by their system when they collapse it and try to force us into their technocracy.
Right. And that has to be key, because I do understand, you know, I spent a lot of years in Hollywood. I know a lot of people that, you know, they would probably struggling artists, actors, whatever, musicians probably say, oh, universal basic income. Great. Because that's kind of that's how they're selling this. Because I am telling you, something is going on, and I don't know if it's how these people are surviving, but there's a lot of people in America not working at all that still seem to be able to pay their bills and stuff. We're across from the Archdiocese in New York. And I'm telling you, these busloads are coming in of illegals. They're waiting in line, 200, 300 people at a time, getting handed food cards and housing vouchers and all this stuff. They're flooding the system that I'm sure you know, Cloward Piven strategy of just getting everyone on welfare and crushing the system we have no choice. And that's what we have to fight against. What you're talking about right now is getting out of the system, not just silver and gold. There's other options too. Or, you know, people, what should I do with my savings? Well, what is lacking in your community near you? Or go find a small business that you think could use some help and partner up with them. There's so much we can do, but I do believe that they are trying to get everyone on some form of depending on the government. And people not like you and me that don't really see the big picture are thinking, I mean, people are asking again for another stimulus. This is killing our country. But I get text messages from the progressive Democrats of New York.
Me too.
Constantly talking about a new stimulus or still not paying rent or all of this stuff. And this is all, I think we got to keep sounding the alarm that this march towards totally financially depending on the government is the end. There is no way back.
Yeah.
And I think that's the confusion, because they are confusing the central bank digital currency with Bitcoin or, you know, having that freedom or the blockchain. That is not what they're talking about. But I do see the appeal to people that think, oh, well, I'll get everything paid for by the government. Great. And it's the end. So we really have to really push the message, I think, out there from wherever we can. Because another thing I think is about to happen is that they're going to really up the censorship and the domestic terror BS and whatever's going on with the FBI and DOJ and Patriot Act, which never should have been. I do think that's going to get worse too. And that people that are like you and me trying to tell people, you know, you have the power only if you take it. If you keep following, and because all these programs, I know you left New York, thank God for you guys, but all these programs, I get letters every single day from New York. I do not qualify for any of their programs, but I still get letters every day almost telling me about them. So it's like, at what point do you just stop working and say, okay, I need welfare, and you go on it and you think like, I just think it's really important that, you know, we keep getting the word out that the minute that you let the government, this happened in the inner cities for decades. We can't get out of it. And I think that they're trying to get enough people on that side to then kick the digital currency in, which I never thought of what you said. And that's a great point. The cartels and the black market people, they don't want that.
No, but,
So one more thing I wanted to ask you before I let you go. I'm keeping you a long time, but I haven't been on with you in a while. It's been too long.
It's a long overdue. I can't believe it.
When I saw you, I was like, oh my God, where have you been? I know you have a life, a great wife and a baby, but you put out a really good show. I think everyone should take a look at about men. You know, we have a man crisis in America and everyone can say what they want. And, you know, Joy Reid can say it's the white men that are ruining this country. Where are those men? Because you did. I mean, I'm surprised that there's not more heroes, more leaders, more people stepping up outside of who we already know. And you did a whole thing. What was your analysis of what's going on with the men in America? We see a lot more women fighting in on the front lines, especially for their children. What's your take on that? And how can we turn that around?
Well, it's certainly a crisis. I think it's funny. It goes back to that fourth turning, right? Bad times create strong men. And I think that my hope is that more men are stepping up. And I think that maybe it's going to take, look, if we're to this point right now, and I looked at the demographics of my audience, it's actually majority female. Which is kind of funny because I thought like, oh, okay, I'll be like a Jordan Peterson. I'll talk to the men and rile them up. It's actually mostly females that are watching. And I'm sure it's for you as well. Yeah. That they're the ones that they're.
And mine
are
also older too.
Me too.
An older demographic of people that get what's going on. I mean, we both have really grown a lot, but that is true. I think a lot of men, have been demoralized. I mean, there's been a campaign to demoralize and diminish men. All
yeah,
you have
I wonder
to do
why,
is watch our commercials.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that, I do think that it's still inside of us. And I think that once we're seeing it happening and it's contagious. And I can tell you that because when the problem is, and there's a lot of problems, but one of the big problems is that there's really been no threat to our livelihoods. There's really been no threat to our safety. We've gotten very comfortable. A father can go work his job, come home, do fantasy football, watch right. the game, drink a few beers, hang out with his friends, take his kids to baseball, and really, kind of play the role of a good father. But right. in that episode, I played the scene from 300 where King Leonidas kicks, he said, this is Sparta, he kicks the Persian into the well. And it's like, he was threatened. And the thing is, I do think that men are still men, even though we've been, we've had our masculinity stripped and all, everything that's happened, and we've been attacked. We're still testosterone producing organisms, right? Like we are biological males. And I think that we're going to see a tipping point where when a father sees his daughter and he says, gosh, right. I can't feed you. And his daughter is not eating enough because he got laid off because of some liberal policy, whatever it is, because they're not drilling. Or when he can't heat their home because the price of kerosene has gone up or oil has gone up so much because of these same policies. I think that we're going to see a lot of men that they're going to hit a breaking point. And so while we've seen the women, women are intuitive. Right? They're in tune with the moon phases. Like the women, I've learned to really respect this about my wife. She has intuition. She feels what's happening. She can feel something and she sees something happening well before I see it. That's that's part of their job, right? And they're going to see it happening. So it makes sense that a lot of the women are getting more involved. They're seeing our country's headed towards somewhere that's not good.
Right.
But men are differently though. So for men, we may not see it, but as soon as we see it, we snap and we take action and we say, this is my purpose. And so I think that that's the stage that we're at right now. We're at the stage of the women sensing it. And they're telling their husbands, look, honey, there's something really wrong. They're stealing our elections and look what's happening in our schools. And the husbands are like, well, okay, that's fine, honey, but I'm busy with my job and whatever. But I think we're getting to that point where we're going to see that testosterone just kind of snap open. And we're going to see a lot of men. They're saying, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like right. our country is on the edge of a cliff. And if I don't act right now, my cute little girl, my young son, they're going to be, in a concentration camp. They're going to be some, wealthy elite's play toy. They're going to be whatever it is. And right. they're going to fight. So I do think that we're on the verge of seeing that, which gives me hope.
I do too. And you and I both do have hope because we have hope for humanity and for the future. And I agree with you. I think there's going to be a real hard time, but I think we're going to get through it. And on the other side, we're going to rebuild this country from the inside out without the mountain of lies and the fake financial system, which gives me a lot of hope to get through it and keep fighting and keep speaking out and fighting the censorship. Speaking of, you have an amazing show. You have built it a great body of work over there. I know your wife is your partner, which is awesome. Can you tell my audience where they can find you, how they can follow you, and all that kind of fun stuff?
Yeah, sure. So I'd probably say the easiest thing is whether you go to Rumble or podcast. I'm still on YouTube, but I only half the content goes up on there because I don't like self-censoring. Right. But just go to Rumble or your favorite podcast app like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and just search for Man in America. You'll see my smiling face with the American flag. Just search for Man in America. And you can subscribe on Rumble. You can subscribe on any of the podcast apps. And I put out, actually, you've been an inspiration to me. I'm like, how's Mel K do all these interviews? So right now we're putting out 4 or 5 shows every week. And our goal is to get to around, you know, 8 or 10 shows every week. Right. We put out a lot of content. I'm actually got some great interviews lined up. Actually, I'm going to be interviewing Martin Armstrong soon.
Oh, I love him.
I'm so excited for that.
Talk about having a vision ahead. I was actually going to bring him up earlier when you were talking about the fourth turning. Great. That'll be a great one. Yeah. You have awesome guests and you're really fighting on the front lines. You also have a great background. You were a journalist all over the world, geopolitical knowledge, which a lot of people, you know, Seth, a lot of people say to you or me, and you know, why isn't anything happening? What's not happening? And I know you say what I say a lot, which is this is geopolitical. It's not just America. Every move that's being made is being made for everyone. Everything is affecting everyone. And that makes it a lot more complex, but you break it down beautifully, regularly. And I love your show. And now, are you going to be joining us on the road again? I hope you are. We're going to be in Nashville in January.
Oh, yes. So I'll be at Nashville.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I think I'll be at all 4 of the Reawaken events next week.
Great. I love when you're there.
I can't wait. Yep. I'm trying to, you know, get into a few other things as well, but I'll be back out on the road again for sure.
Okay, great. I love hanging around with you and say hello to your amazing wife. And I know you have a beautiful child that makes every day worth fighting for. And I will see you in Nashville. Everyone go to the Mel K Show events page and join Seth and I in Nashville in January. And until then, thank you, sir. I will see you soon.
All right. Thank you, Mel. Take care.
Bye-bye. Hello, Patriot Pals. I am here again to talk to you about something that's concerning me, and it might be concerning you. I would really like everyone to take seriously the Executive Order 14067 and go read it for yourselves. This is about the central bank digital currency, and this would then take all of our banking systems as we know them and put them into a centralized banking system. Central bank digital currency they are talking about is programmable tokens. Programmable tokens attached to a ESG social credit governance score. The central bank digital currency is track and trace money that would be controlled by the private Western Central Bank, essentially taking our free will to do as we wish with our financial assets. And in turn, the government could watch everything we buy, track and trace every purchase, anything we're investing on. They can then, on that end, go after you with taxes and liens and other financial tools that can really take away your ability to live the life that you choose with life, liberty, pursuit of happiness as you see fit. What we've seen in 2021 and 2022 with the Federal Reserve and the printing of cash is an influx where 40% of the US dollars out there have been printed in the last 2 years, devaluing our dollar dramatically. The rest of the world right now is strongly considering returning back to the gold standard and leaving the reserve currency of the US dollar behind. This has been a result of the sanctions in Russia and other sanctions by our government on foreign countries that no longer trust the US dollar. And I think the best thing we can do is A, know that we have to weather this storm. We have a financial storm brewing. We are going to get through it. America will prevail. But in the meantime, I really am suggesting, as I am doing myself, to protect your savings, protect your 401ks and IRAs. And the great way to do that for me is gold and silver. I've been working with Beverly Hills Precious Metals for a little over 2 years. They've been really great with me and my family and friends. They have experts in different fields and different avenues. And if you go to our partners page and you go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals, you will find a real person who knows exactly what can be done to help you in whatever circumstance you're in, wherever you find yourself. They will meet you there. They will help you come up with a plan. You can have your gold and silver delivered to you. They also have a depository that's insured that you can have your gold and silver there for you. And in the end, I do believe that America will succeed and we will rise again. And this country will return to the greatness and the beauty that we know and love. But in the meantime, we have a storm ahead. It's very uncertain. To learn more, please go to the Mel Kay Show Partners page and find Beverly Hills Precious Metals and contact the experts there to find the best path for you and your family to protect your savings and to prepare for whatever's ahead. God bless you, God bless America, and please take care of your family first. Hi guys, Mel Kay here. I'm very excited to be here with my partners at My Daily Choice, because we are super excited about our CBD line. It keeps growing. I am a big fan of these patriots that are out there. They are producing this in America. They ship it from America. It is totally pure. It is the best I've found. After the last 2 years, guys, of the medical industrial complex and us watching this unfold, we have to realize that natural remedies, things that come from God, are actually the best medicine. What are you guys finding out there from people that respond to you, and from how you're using it and what it's doing for your life?
Well, it's changed our lives in a lot of ways. For her, sleep is one thing, mood, overall general health, just so many things. But the reason that works that way is because we all have an endocannabinoid system, which none of us were taught. No. I wasn't taught it in grad school. And it's there to give us homeostasis or balance in our bodies. It controls the other 10 body systems. Wow. So no wonder none of us felt too good, you know? So we hear all kinds of stories all every day about what it's doing for people.
Yeah. And for me, especially, it's great for me for sleep, but also for mood, for kind of staying even keel with energy all day without the ups and downs. And I know I also have had many experiences with different products that you have. The coffee is great. There's a makeup line. I mean, this is an amazing product and I really want everyone to go check it out. You can go to the partners page at the Mel Kay Show and you can see the link to My Daily Choice. And we are very excited to get our health back, to go into this next phase of the awakening, and have some great products to use while we're getting on our A game to go back into the summer. So thank you so much, guys. And I will see you next time. And everyone, please go check out the Mel Kay Show at Partners and find the My Daily Choice tab and go check out all the products. There's so many products, you won't even believe it. I really appreciate it. I'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.